This is a Pinball News production.
Hi, how you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Good. Now, I see we have a small percentage of pinball fans that are virtual pinball fans. But anyway, we're here to talk about virtual pinball, but primarily visual pinball. Last year, Rob Craig did pretty much the history of the pinball construction set from the Commodore 64 on up. I don't know how many of you attended that. How many of you guys are familiar with visual pinball? So pretty much, and then, okay. How many of you actually used it and are still using it today? Okay. Visual pinball was created by Randy Davis back in 2000. I'm sure some of you are familiar with the history of it. He did it as a hobby. He was working for Microsoft at the time, working with COM objects, and came to realize they communicate together as a pinball machine does. So what he basically did is created his own pinball construction set, and he and I had a discussion, an interview actually on a site, and he had mentioned, he had mentioned that he had no idea what would happen. He had no idea if it would ever become popular, and I think we all know now it's become pretty popular. In fact, when he first released it, he had no idea if anyone would even catch on, and he said 2 hours after its release, the first original was born. And since then, we've been taking it from there. Now, the community has been around for about 10 years, and it's growing. It's getting better and better. And in about 2002, the implementation of PinMain. Have you guys all heard of PinMain? Okay, and then with the implementation of PinMain came real pinball tables, real rules, real displays. Brian?
I guess I have to grab a mic. Okay. This was one of the very first tables here. Am's family, of course. This one didn't use ROMs. This one came out in 2001 before the advent of PinMain. However, the very, very first version of PinMain only supported two games. One was Twilight Zone, and I believe Am's family was the second one. But PinMain was created by Martin Adrian in his free time. It was just a basic composite of MAME transferred over to pinball games. And this one didn't use ROMs. It was all hard-coded by hand in Visual Basic. It was incomplete, but it was just a test of concept. Now, this is what it looks like a little bit closer to today, 2010. We now have better graphics. We have better physics. Visual pinball has grown in leaps and bounds since its inception. And with the advent of motion boards and controllers, you can also simulate actual nudges on the game while you're playing. You want to take this one?
That would be Bad Cats. Now, I don't recall who actually put this one out, but it was back in 2001. And one of the things we wanted to point out is the contrast between the first tables that came out. And a lot of you may have seen the tables and may have actually given up kind of on visual pinball, thinking, well, you know, it's good, it's kind of fun, but it's not like the real pinball. And then along comes J.P. Salas, and he puts out a quality table like that. And it's become a whole lot more realistic and a whole lot more accurate. Which I think makes it a whole lot more fun. And then in the next few slides, our basic contrast, there's a break shot. That was actually 2004, not a bad looking table for its time. And then we have the more now lighting effects. And that's kind of what a lot of the guys like Uncle Willie, if you guys are familiar with him, and myself, actually Uncle Remus and I, put that's our table there. And we're focusing a lot more on the shadowing and the lighting. And we think that brings it a lot more to life. Twilight Zone. And that's Gronies, and that came out last year in 2009. And that actually is now the new progression, the virtual cabs. And do you guys have a virtual cabinet? Any of you? Are you building your own?
No space.
No space? Well, about four years ago for the Ultra Pin? So the Ultra Pin was born, and that was the first virtual cabinet. And then, of course, the home users started building their own home cabinets. And now here's a cabinet that we're putting together and we're offering, actually. You can find it in the back corner of the game room if you're interested in checking it out. It has the full accelerometer nudging, the analog plunger, and it's a three-screen, 37-inch for the play field, 28-inch back glass, and a 17-inch DMD. So Are there any questions so far? This is a fireside chat. You guys are welcome to ask any questions. Roger?
That's a good question. Virtual cabinet, are they selling that commercially?
The cabinet only, no software involved? Okay. Not a problem. Basically, what it is it's a computer tower with three monitors laid out in a pinball format.
One of the attorneys is going to be visiting Xbox, so I just don't want to get blindsided.
On what?
One of the attorneys for WMS is going to be visiting Xbox, so I just don't want to get blindsided.
Oh, okay. Well, we do have some demonstration tables on that, and I wanted to bring your attention to that and talk to you about it. They are for demonstration only. They are not being distributed with the cabinets for sale. And is that all right? Because you know what we do, and you know we do it in good spirit. But I want people to basically, what's that?
I'm easygoing.
Well, basically, we really want people to be able to enjoy the visual pinball. You know, but again, I'm aware of licensing, and yeah, it is just coming with Windows, and it's up to everyone else to get up to the purchaser to pick up the software.
No problem.
Just to butt in here for a moment, the question about commercialization. This is called a Pinball Wizard controller, and it's put out by Nanotech. This does have a built-in motion board for it. It's got your coin buttons, your cam and HUD displays. It's got flipper buttons on the sides, analog plunger. So basically, when you pull this, the plunger moves within the software. And then you just like can tilt the game by dropping it if you wanted. But this is rather new, so they are making them now. I just wanted to plug that for a moment.
Actually, it's a pretty decent unit. I had one for a while until I broke it apart to make that. But I did enjoy it for the time I had it, as far as that goes. You know, does everybody have VP8? I see laptops open. Do you guys have VP8 on your laptops? Do you guys need VP8 on your laptops? Because we are gonna do a build your own. Okay. Do you have Wi-Fi connection here right now? Can you get online? Yeah, well, 9 will work with your table.
Yeah.
If your laptop can run 9.
Yeah.
Okay.
If 9 works, it'll be fine, yeah.
Just want to make sure we're doing anything version specific.
Well, the reason we went with VP8 is because VP9 is a lot more demanding on system hardware, and not everybody's laptop will be able to run it. Any other questions?
Where are you going to get that?
vpforums.org/expo, capital E-X-P-O, and that'll bring up a page. It'll have everything you need, including, you know, VP8 and the table, the tutorial table. If you're interested, go to that address, vpforums.org/expo with a capital E, and you'll get the tutorial table.
We're getting a lot of questions from the right side of the audience. Do we have any questions from the left side of the audience? Over here? No?
I'll ask a question about VP Forums. Is it going to continue a locator?
The pinball locator? Actually, Laughing Otter had discussed putting his the pin locator, hit the one, the application he was putting together, but I haven't heard a whole lot from him about it. One thing I do want to do is have a user interface where you can go, you can post your location, the location of tables that you're aware of, and have it correlate with a Google Map. Is that what you're talking about, the pin locator?
Yeah, you should stay for the session afterward then.
Okay.
Okay, so moving on here, I just wanted to take a few minutes here and go over pin name, which is my major focus. Every one of the original pin name developers got these shirts. There are 5 of them, and I got 5 shirts because I wanted one for Monday through Friday for work. Anyway, I've been working on this for 10 years since PinMame interfaced with Visual Pinball, and it basically just emulates the hardware, the solenoids, the lights, and the switches in a real game, and it tells Visual Pinball when these switches are hit and what to do with it. So right now we emulate every major manufacturer up through 2006 because we didn't want to impinge on the newest games and impact sales of those games. But our primary focus is preservation and making these games as close to realistic as possible. The PinMame dev team's made up of Marin, Steve, Garrett, Tom, me, Oliver, Cagey. Mattis Booker, who happens to be here in the audience, and Tom Barons. Now, some of us aren't active 24/7. It's like we have lives, we have tables to make, we have to go out and get ROMs. So some projects like Capcom can take years because, well, we just want it to be as perfect as possible, and if it's not perfect, it's not done. And sadly, none of our ROMs are perfectly emulated to a T yet. Soon, though, I'm sure. Any day now. This is a short, quick timeline of it. We have April 1999, pen name for DOS was created. That was coincidentally around the same time that Williams closed their doors. People have always said, well, is it correlated? Only person to know that would be whoever was at Williams at that time. I have no clue. After that, we had full WPC emulation in 2000. January was the day to watch because ever since PinMame has interfaced with Visual Pinball, popularity has soared through the roof. We have at least 20,000 users registered right now in our forums. They've been there for years, and we're growing. Everyone knows about us. As far as I know, that would be Williams, Gottlieb, Wayne Gillard knows about us quite well. October 2003, we added Alvin Jean Capcom, and that is significant because Capcom used MP3 for their sound format. It was one of the leading sound formats of the time available. The only sound format better than that is DCS2, used in Pinball 2000. Allied Leisure, I have that on there because I bought an Allied Leisure game and we sent off the board to Pascal Janin. He read out the chips for us and we got Allied Leisure working, which is 12 or 15 games working off the same game code. Gottlieb System 1 has those dang chips on the board that Pascal replaced with the Nywomp, and ours uses the real chips. We didn't take a shortcut there and do the Nywomp chips. Open source was August of 2008, and if any of you have any ideas on how to make it better, let us know. That's for both PinMame, and now Visual Pinball is also open source. We have a group of 10 guys working on Visual Pinball trying to make that better. And our latest system, thanks to Randy Perlow, we got MicroPin. MicroPin created two games, and they're from 1979, and the game is playable, and it will be out available for your download and amusement as soon as we release the next version of PinMame. I used to have two of these. I helped design UltraPin by Global VR. I sold the first one for my down payment for my house and my second one for my mortgage for the house. And I miss them already, as my wife can attest. PinMame was used in UltraPin. It was also used in the Metallica pinball conversion. Maybe you heard of it. It was at Expo last year. It's also used for PinMame HW, which is hardware, which allows you to connect up a laptop or PC directly through PinMame to run actual real-life hardware in the real games, in case your board fries. We also have a port now for Linux for PinMame, so if you wanted to use that. Basically, we don't care how it gets used as long as it's authentic to the real game. If you're going to go in there and modify stuff on it and make it do things that the real game could not do, that's not preserving. It's more of a artistic flair. As long as it's kept free and not sold, feel free to use it for anything you want. And that's pretty much it. It's just going back between those two frames, so that's it there.
Hey, are the people who are using the tutorial table, are you going to have it downloaded? Anyone else need the table? VP Forums, vpforums.org/expo. Capital E, XPO. Yeah, I accidentally capitalized it. Sorry about that. It's just that proper grammar thing. Any other questions? Has anyone ever designed their own original tables? Nobody's ever designed their own original tables using visual? Tell us about your designs, Roger, with visual pinball. Oh, well, do you have your laptop? Where's your laptop? At home. You need to borrow mine? Okay. We'd like to see a Roger Sharp virtual pinball table. Okay, that was the closest you got to virtual pinball. Okay, right. So are you a fan of virtual pinball yourself?
Yeah, I am, but I think it's great for people who want to have space.
Right. One thing that I honestly find I'm the most proud of being a part of the community is the fact that I do get emails quite often from people around the world who don't have access to any pinball. And they get a chance to play almost every pinball that we have had the chance to play here in the States. So that's one of the coolest things I think about virtual pinball, or visual pinball in particular, is the fact that, you know, we're preserving the history of pinball, you know, through emulation of software. So that's one thing that we do to pride ourselves on. Did you guys get the table itself up and loaded? So everybody's ready for a tutorial? Do you have that?
Yes.
So when you installed it, you're going to get a vPinball exec, and in the table folder should be the table.vpt. So when you go to open.
Okay, when you're designing an original table, you're going to do this a whole lot quicker if you draw out the table playfield first. And that will be taking you the most time, because the playfield layout tells it exactly how this game's going to be played, as far as ball padding goes, as far as where the lights are placed and the walls and stuff. And like I said, I've been doing this for 10 years or so. I think I'd know the fastest way to lay out a table. My record here has been 1 hour and 20 minutes for a table using PinMame. Anyway, here's your blueprint. I think I saved that here. Can anyone guess what table this relates to? Way to go. You got it. It's brand new, and we're working on layouts for it as soon as they come out. And eventually, when it's emulated and legal to be played, of course, then we'll hook up the game code to it and get that working, and our game will be perfect, because the best time to get photos for these games is when they're brand new, if it's at all possible. Because then, if you need secondary photos, the games are right there for you. If you need gameplay information, the game's working because it's brand new. In any case, this is your playfield blueprint here. It's just a basic BMP. You can go up to File and click New. That'll pull up our default table, which has been the same for 10 years. It's the basic default table. If you go up to Table, or Preference, Table, and then Image Manager, click on Import. You can import your blueprint. Click OK. Click on Options on the left. If I'm going too fast, just say so. Okay. Over here, this is your playfield image. If you select your blueprint, it populates that for you. Generally, the default table doesn't fit 99% of the tables that are out there, so you're going to be deleting or wiping out the default table every single time. You can highlight a control point there and press delete. That'll get rid of it. You can also drag them if you prefer, in order to shape the playfield to the blueprint. I was doing this at home, and this layout took me 22 minutes to generate. Takes a bit of time, of course. Get this moving along a little bit better. Just go ahead and wipe that out. Anyway, you are dragging your walls to match the walls on the playfield. For those of you who already have the playfield laid out and pre-populated, we can just move on to that if you'd prefer. The actual layout process is complex, but anyone can do it without any formal training. You have your basic items on the left, your lights, timers, bumpers, flippers, gates, ramps, plungers, spinners, triggers, kickers, decals, etc., etc. You just click on something you want and drop it on your table, and then use these fields so over here to size it, rotate it, add an image. It's all pre-self-explanatory there. This is what I ended up with after 25 minutes or so. I have my triggers here for the inline switches. I have my slingshots right here. I have my flippers. I've got my wall laid out as close as I wanted it. Yes? What's your question?
Okay, so like we're playing with it now.
Yes.
So you've got the flippers, but we've only got the left-hand flipper. How do you take that flipper and flip it around and then you take right-hand flipper?
Click on the flipper that you want changed, and then make sure the options pane is showing up on the right where it says flipper.
Yeah, click the options button if it's not showing up.
And
on
then
the left.
Go down and it has the angles there for you. So like for the right one, you would set the angle to 240 and 293 or so, which will flip it around the other way. What you end up with here, if you press F5, you can see it render this table, and it places a ball there for you to shoot on the play field. Now, something that I personally really concentrate on doing is making the loop as smooth as possible so that the ball will fly correctly and match up with the real game. You can launch your ball by pressing enter and then releasing it. The ball will go around the playfield, and on the real avatar, I would bet even money the ball does not hit the left slingshot after a loop shot. You can correct that by pressing escape. Press Q, that'll grab you back to the editor again, and grab the control point on the left loop wall. There are a few there to choose from. Just grab one, move it up a little bit, move it a little bit to the left, click anywhere else, press F5 again, and try launching the same ball. See if it hits the slingshot or not. It goes to the right flipper, so that's a little too far. I haven't actually played it in person yet. Just from experience, I'm winging it. Okay. Are there any other questions here so far? Looks like you're falling asleep. Yes?
Is it too easy to just add an overlay to the play field so you can see where the actual objects are?
Yes.
And then build on top of that?
Yes. By waiting long enough, they eventually put their manuals on the website. You can.
If you have a picture of the entire play,
you can do that too, sure. Wouldn't be quite as accurate. In order to work the flippers, you can hit the shift keys. You can nudge by pressing Z or slash, and the table shakes. And with the pinball wizard, you can just plug it into your laptop or PC and use that to play. Now, in order to continue with this game here, we'll just say that I've used 20 minutes on the play field. I also have to work on the artwork. I have to figure out how all these toys work, like the amp suit. It just moves, so that shouldn't be too hard. And if I was doing this without ROMs, I could load the sounds in Sound Manager. That would be Tables Sound Manager. Here's a flipper sound, plunger sound, bumper sound. I can add music to it. There. And the actual game code without using ROMs is all done here, script. This also takes a whole lot of time if you don't have the ROMs handling it for you. So this tells it everything that you would ever need it to do. You've got your key codes, which of course is the keyboard interface for it. If key code equals plunger key, then pull back the plunger. It's all very explanatory here. Paul, do you have anything to add so far?
No. You're working on that?
One thing I wanted to point out, though, is if you look along the left, you see all your table lines. And when you start with your table, you're welcome to make any table you want. You don't have to stick with any type of roof bed. One thing I did when I first started designing and messing around with the tables is I just kind of used the rule of three. I placed three bumpers, and then I would place a ramp. And all your table objects are there. So one of the things I wanted to do is, you know, get you kind of in tune with the table objects and the menu on the left there. Now, I don't have my laptop, so I'm going to borrow Brian's over here. Any questions so far? I know it's been kind of a, you know, a baptism by fire, but that's kind of what visual pinball is. We actually, for the first time ever, we're actually going to have a visual pinball handbook, basically, like a guide to what it all means and what it all does. And that's actually never really been something we've had. So, questions at all? Okay. Start with the visual pinball, you know, executable, and that is the editor itself. And you can start with a new table. You can start with the template table we had set up. Did you include the blueprint in the zip as an
image?
I
don't think so.
Okay. I never got a chance to even open it.
Okay.
I've been running around like that.
Now then, for the table code here, you only have a set number of commands to deal with. It's based off Visual Basic, so it should be basic. But some commands do not work with Visual Pinball 8. You can't use left. You can use right. You can use mid, but you can't use left. And that was recently corrected here for Visual Pinball 9, where left does work. So for any of you who have coded in Visual Basic before, this will be a piece of cake. But you can declare your variables. You can name them anything you want, provided that they don't conflict with a routine name. And then you can tell it to interact with these objects just as you have it here. You have your text box, which is on the back glass of this table. That's right here. And that has its own name. You can name it points if you want. Let's go ahead and do that and press tab so it saves it. And you can choose your font. You can choose your size and clear out that text field right there. Trust me, we're actually doing something. Go back to your script and declare a variable like current points. That would make sense to me. You always want your variables to make sense, because if they don't make sense to you, when something goes wrong, you'll be here all day trying to figure out why. So. Yes. We do have a help file available which shows the basic commands to use and the object names. And most commonly, someone will create a subroutine and declare a variable with the subroutine's name, like change points. They'll declare it, and then they'll create sub change points, which doesn't work. You can have one or the other. The help file should be on our site, vpforums.org. What did we call that variable? Current points, right? After declaring your variable, you would usually want to give it a default value, just as good coding practice goes. Current points equals 0. Now, you can go up and down this whole page here, and the bottom here tells it when the ball hits the drain, it should be destroyed. And then after that, it will create a new ball at the plunger again, and then it plays a sound. Play sound plunger. What you also want to do here is tell it maybe, hey, I want to have 3 balls per game. So go ahead and declare that. Dim balls. Balls equals 3. And then down here for drain hit, when that ball is destroyed, you're going to subtract 1 from the ball's variable so that you have 2 balls left. and then check it. If balls is less than zero, then end game. Then I'm going to toss in an else, create the ball, play the sound. Now, end game there, I'm going to have to make my very own routine for that because that isn't currently here. When the game ends, most likely I want to turn off the playfield lights. I want to reset the displays and reinitialize it for the next game later. But this doesn't have to be done in any kind of order. You can do it any part at a time that you want it to. And right now, if you were to go and play the game, you can play three balls. So there's ball one. Ball two. I'm obviously not a very good player. Ball three. And you'll notice when the third ball drains, it shouldn't create a new ball. Obviously, I've got a problem there. What? Right. Good job. Change that to less than one. There you go. You fixed it. Now, even me, I've been doing this for so many years. This is my main hobby. Even I make simple mistakes such as that. So don't get frustrated. If you run out of ideas, take a break. Go watch TV, whatever. It will be here when you get back. No one's going to yell at you for, you did the dumbest thing with this game. It's yours. It's a work of creativity. Now, most of the most popular games, though, use PinMeme. And that's because a table takes so long to make if it's an original. If a tried-and-true company has been working on it for years with a paid dev team, then they've done most of that work for you. And for PinMeme here, we take photos of the real games. We also read out ROM chips and emulate those ROM chips. I got this years ago. It's been around the world about four times now. It's an EEPROM programmer, and you just pop out the chips, toss them in here, connect it up to your PC, and read out the game code. And with that game code, we can just plug in ROMs that have been emulated already, such as Williams, Data East, Bally, Gottlieb. Any ROMs that are working in PinMeme, we can instantly have the rules done, the sound done, and your game code for that table can be as low as 100 lines of code. So it's a real time saver. It guarantees the table is accurate. And provided that your layout and graphics are good, you basically have that game in your home. With Paul's machine that he has out there on the game floor, he has at least 10 games on there. And those were the best that we had to choose from in order to show off here at Expo. Maybe Paul's going to, say something for a while.
A little individual one-on-one help, sorry. Getting people going.
My throat's getting tired.
Sure. Well, this is a fireside chat, and if there's any questions, I'm definitely happy to answer them. It's worth no questions.
I got a question.
Okay.
Can you? I've only been out to the VTM forum or whatever, or your website a couple times. I was wondering if you could just take us on a little tour. Seemed like there was dark corners to that thing.
Well, I wouldn't say there's always a street light on somewhere. I wouldn't say dark corners. Now, what are you referring to exactly?
Well, it's just, I think some of this is so objective, like what the other gentleman was just getting to, where you got visual pin bomb, but then you got visual main.
Okay, well, visual pin, pin main, how it's integrated. Okay. You can run visual pinball as a standalone. You do not need pin main with that. Unless you want to run the ROM-driven games, which are all the solid-state games. And what basically happens is VP and PinMame interact. And that's where you get that interaction is what you need to emulate those games. The ROM itself will tell it what to do when triggers are hit, when bumpers are hit. It'll use that rule set. It'll use that D&D animation and display it. That's what Pin Mame does.
Okay. You configure that property somewhere in the property.
Well, basically what you would do is you would download Visual Pinball alone. And then you would download and unzip Pin Mame, like in a subfolder or similar structure. When you run the setup exec for a Pin Mame, you define the paths as you had Visual Pinball set up. And once you do that, all you really need to do is download and have a VPT in the tables folder, and then download and don't unzip a ROM, and you can run that table. Now, it does involve some scripts, and that may be some of the problems you're having. There is an installer that will install everything all at once. And if you look under Getting Started on the site, it's the installer 1.03, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I think I did that and got to the editor. But
okay.
The integration was
like, what kind of error was it throwing?
I just didn't know what to do. I was staring at this abstraction of the table layout.
Okay.
Wow, this is interesting.
Okay.
And you can fool around a little bit.
Right. Did you look at the Getting Started and the installation guide? I'm sorry? What'd you say?
Read the fine manual.
Right. Well, we have a similar installer. It does all the same stuff. Yeah, but it's more updated. The scripts are more up to date. Then I think that only installs VP8. The one on our site installs VP8 and VP9 with the updated scripts and the updated bin. The 8 was kind of where Randy left off. It wasn't really new Nanotech at the time, was it? It was UltraCAD.
Global VR.
It was Global VR that was doing that. They were kind of tweaking around with it, getting it ready for the UltraPin. VP9 is the UltraPin version that Nanotech decided to release and let us play around with because they were pretty much done with it. So now later on, thanks to Deathstruck here, it became open source, because he's pretty persuasive apparently, and they both decided to let it loose in the wild. Yeah. And that gives us the opportunity to go in and optimize the code and make any changes that we want to see and, basically keep it going and improve it.
Sometimes I go and try to play a game and it won't work in like VP9, but if I go back and use like VP whatever, an old one, it will work.
There isn't necessarily 100% backwards compatibility. What basically happened was a new physics engine was introduced in VP9. And anytime all of a sudden, all the physics changed and all the rules changed.
Was it like max speed something?
Right, okay. Right.
Yep, yeah. You got max ball speed and it was not supported or not, yeah. What that means is you're trying to play a VP9 table in VP8. So if you play it in VP9, you'll be fine. You won't have that error.
Now, the problem there is some guys are saying, well, you should have made it backward compatible because now we have to go back and fix all these tables. Well, the way that I see it is, before, the physics model was just plain wrong. You had balls going through walls. You had the ball going through the flippers. You can't really play pinball that way. They came up with some short workaround hacks through code to check where the ball was, make the flippers faster so that the ball won't go through the flippers, use ramps and walls and all this other junk in order to work around a basic core problem with the physics engine. Now, VP9 was revamped with a brand new physics core so that those things wouldn't happen anymore. The ball no longer goes through the flippers. The ball has an actual 50-unit dimension size, so it's a real ball. It uses real weight, real gravity, real collisions. It has all these added value features with ball trajectories. So when you're using a VP9 table with VP8, I could just as easily go in there and say, well, if the table's VP8, don't throw up this error. But the games designed for VP9 with those new physics are meant to be played with real physics, not hackarounds and, all that other stuff. So the easiest way to troubleshoot that for us, the way that I see it, is have it toss up an error message saying things like table slope not found or something like that. And that way when someone posts to our forum saying, hey, it's not working, it says command not found, and I'm like, well, you're using the wrong version of the software. And it's just easier that way than wasting time saying, well, which table is it? What software do you have on your PC? It's really quick. So we can say, well, run it in VP9, and it works great. That's just how I see that stuff.
Do you post the minimum system requirements for VP9
then? Sadly, no, because...
I know earlier you said we might not, our laptops might not be able to run that.
Right. Some laptops run it just fine. Others have problems, and we were given the newer code from Global VR, which is based on hardware for the Ultra Pin games, and I just don't know which laptops will run it fine and which will have problems. So I'm not 100% sure on system recs for it.
Is it CPU or is it graphics card?
Graphics card mainly. You had a question?
Yes. Do I configure Windows or Visual Pinball to indicate if I've got two monitors, three monitors?
For now, you would do that through Windows, because Windows provides the interface to those displays for you.
Can you show us how to do that? Is that possible? Because we're looking at trying to build a cabinet, and that's one of our things.
Noah can. Or Paul. Can you explain to them how to set up like a three display system there?
Absolutely. Pretty much, well, one way I have it set up is I have a hog card. It's a 275 GTX overclock, and I use that for my playfield and my back class. And then my second card is an 8400 GS, and that was what I used to drive the DMD. Now, when you first start the table up, if you have everything configured properly, what you're going to see is you're going to see a full-screen cabinet sized table. And if you have it rotated, you know, the flippers will be obviously on the right if you're looking at it on the normal perspective, but you turn your monitor and your flippers will be at the bottom, and the DMD will actually be up on the top. Okay, normally, what OS are you using? Because XP really is the way to go for cabinets. XP is really the way to go for cabinets. Yeah. All you really have to do is drag that DMD down through the flippers, and it'll appear on your monitor, on the next monitor. And you can drag it through that one to go to the third monitor if you have it configured. What I did is you have an NVIDIA card, I'm assuming, or two NVIDIA cards. All right, so what I did is I made the playfield the primary display, so all windows pop up there. And that's really important, and you would do that in the NVIDIA options. The second monitor... And when you go to settings, when you click right click desktop and you go to settings and you go to displays, and you're going to see three displays in a row. You're going to want your back glass monitor to be in the middle, and that way, if you have the HyperPin front end, it will know which monitor to display that back glass on. And then you actually would drag the DMD through that one; it'll end up on that third monitor. Okay. And then when you right click that, it'll say show border as an option. Click that. When it shows the border, you'll be able to drag it and resize it to any size you want. And then don't worry about the border going away, because once you quit the table and restart it, that DMD should be right where you left it, and the border will be gone. Okay? Does that help?
Yeah, for sure.
And I would suggest XP Home. I disable all possible services, and I really do. I go more for performance in my video settings, my graphic card settings, than I do for quality. One thing you got to remember is VP has been around since 2000, so you know video wise. You're not going to get a whole lot of anti-aliasing. You're not going to get a whole lot out of the physics or anything like that, because it's just not programmed to take advantage of those new features. Is there any questions regarding the recreation side of things? I know we're talking about building a table. Is anyone interested in building recreating tables? No, just playing them? Fair enough.
How about recreating electromechanical systems?
EM tables are a little bit more complex to recreate. You're probably pretty familiar with what we're doing. So when we use a ROM, we use pin MAME, and when we do that, when we implement that, it's almost automatically given. As long as we name the lights the right numbers and we include them in the collections correctly, it's all done for us. to do an EM emulation, every single step, every single object hit, target hit, bumper hit, you have to add score manually. You have to, you know, say three of them are hit and they're all lit and you get a bonus for that. That's another manual step you add in. Basically, you're scripting every single element as if you're the ROM. You know, the script would be basically detailing what the ROM does. We can do them, and a lot of them have been done. Unfortunately, there's just all, it's a bigger, much bigger workload. Have you done any scripting at all? Are you into VP?
No, but I'm also kind of interested in the fact that you would, to have an accurate depiction of the rules, what you really need to do is read off the schematic what the rules are switch by switch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of turn that into some kind of logic expression. I wonder if anybody has any formulas or shortcuts.
Well, we have a member, his name is Hi-Rise, and what he's doing is he is basically creating an XML format where you can call that XML routines, you set your values, and he hasn't gone a whole lot into detail about it. But what it basically does is all you're going to be doing is changing these values, and you're going to change the values of switch hits, bumper hits, and it should set up, have those routines pretty much all pre-configured, and all you're doing is changing the values to a set table, to a specific table. So basically what he's doing is he's writing a ROM creation system using XML, and by changing the point values, you can apply that to almost any table.
It doesn't sound like a number.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, if you know a way of implementing it, we'd be interested in hearing it. I would like to see a lot more EMs recreated. I would like to see even a lot more bagatelles and stuff created. But the fact of the matter is, EMs they're kind of vague for a lot of us because, you know, the scoring and everything, you have to have one right there to figure it out. And if we had folks that were really intimately knowledgeable on the EMs and they wanted to see them recreated and were willing to be like, okay, this is how this works, and when you light this and do this and go up this lane, this happens, then we could recreate them a lot quicker and a lot more accurately. Yeah. See, well, there is no question in accuracy when it comes to a ROM-driven game.
What was the name of the utility you're talking about that did the sort of script building?
It's not completed yet. We have a member that's actually working on that. I don't even think he's named it yet, but I know he will once it's finished. Now, basically what that is a helper. It's like I said, it's a basic script that will work on any table. And what you're going to do, what you basically do is, you know, you'll have like switch number one, switch number two, switch number three, and then you'll set a value for what it does or what it interacts with, and it will make, what he says from what we understand, and again, it's a project in progress, it'll make scripting a lot easier, especially for like guys like you who just get started and don't know VB, you know, VB script. And I know it does get complex. It'll make it a lot easier.
So they're posting something in the VB form?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not 100% certain what he's got his topic under, though. But if you look at Hi-Rise's posts, Hi-Rise is the name of the member, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, we're also working on adding PROC. That's PROC. They have their seminar on Saturday. And I'll be there, of course, too. But with PROC, they're building their own rules and writing those ROMs in their own games with their own game code. So basically they're using their own programming routines in order to make real-life games. And by us adding their Python stuff to Visual Pinball, we'll be able to harness their tools for our purposes here since they're so similar. That's coming in about maybe 6 months, I'd say. But we're excited about that.
Nice to be able to create our own ROMs.
Yes.
Sounds good.
You know, we do a lot of visual pinball. Can you talk about how visual pinball maybe is different from that future pinball? I've never done future pinball. So like how that differs and what that is.
Sure. Future pinball was created by Black, known as Chris Leithley, and he helped Randy with visual pinball for about 2 years, and then he got upset, threw a fit, and decided, I'm just going to leave visual pinball and create future pinball. So the programs are very, very similar. The icon bar here, which shows up on the left in visual pinball, has been moved down to the bottom. They both use Visual Basic. Future pinball has cutting edge next gen graphics, and it looks really, really great. You have a rotating camera. You have your ball. You have your code. It's all basically the same thing, but he won't allow us to use ROMs with it. So that's a big kicker there. You have to code everything by hand.
Can't go back and do like a default a lot. There's none of those. It's all.
You can do them, but you'd have to script the entire thing. There is no ROM support in future pinball.
We're talking 30,000 lines of code or more in order to get Bad Cats to work. Cyclone. You know, just old SS games. In order to code those correctly, you can't use the ROMs with future pinball, so you're saving out every single sound sample. You're writing down by hand how many points things are. The lights, you have to work on those separately for a track mode in order to get the sequences correct. It's a major, major headache. And he could allow us to use ROMs. I mean, it's his choice not to. Unlike our software, Future Pinball's not open source. He holds the keys to that.
And actually, there is some concern right now that he's not going to update it, and it expires at the end of the year. So, I mean, it looks great. It's a great program. One thing is very structured. What you are allowed to do is limited by the editor. You cannot build a bumper with any other unusual shape. You have to use one of the pre-rendered objects. The physics a little bit more like they're a little bit more bouncy, a little bit more like low gravity, almost like a lot of the other virtual. As far as the physics go, yeah. It does look better than visual pinball, no doubt about it. But does it play better? I don't think so. You had a question back there?
Yeah, you guys were talking about actually pulling the code from popular software. Could you reverse that? Could you actually design your own game, play with the physics, and just putting as hard as you could, and jump that back up into a ROM?
You're pretty much talking about using visual pinball to create your own ROM game and to create your own ROM. Now, visual pinball doesn't have the ability to edit ROMs. It's a read-only type system. Now, PROC is a system, and I believe they're having a talk
Saturday.
If you're interested in something like that, basically you can do a custom ROM-driven game using the PROC system. I am going to attend that one because I'm not entirely up to speed on that, so I'm interested on that. Right, well, with the impression I get that with the PROC system, yes, you can. Yes. Are there any other questions? No questions. Okay. Yes.
If I could, talking about pinmates for a minute, could you elaborate a little bit more on the hardware? You have pinmain-HW.
Right. Yeah. Pinmain HW is a hardware-based interface for your laptop or your PC, so that you can run pinmain on that laptop and connect it up through a customized breadboard to real-life hardware, so that you can remove the physical boards from your pinball game and run it 100% off your laptop using the ROMs and pinmain.
Wow. So can you just emulate certain boards, or do you take all the board sets out?
All the board sets. Right. Now, if... Breadboard, right.
Obviously, it's an interface between the laptop and...
From what I've gathered on it, because I don't have it myself. You would get a plain old green PCB or printed circuit board, wire it up with their diagrams, connect it up to your laptop, and then connect the harness for the lamps and the switches and the solenoids to that breadboard, the circuit board. And then the circuit board connects up to a serial port on your PC, and PinMame, with their build of PinMame, it runs everything in your cab. The lights, the solenoids, switches, the sound, etc. So it's very complex.
but it's cool.
So you'd have to get 12 volts to put anything coming out of serial for us.
I haven't used it myself, but they do have their own website. You can find PinMame HW. In essence, if you knew how the real game worked and how the real code works, you could feasibly modify those ROMs and then use those changed ROMs. The guy who did Metallica modified the text in the game ROM and then tossed it in his game, and it worked.
You were looking at a ROMless table and doing if the table if it's a solid state error table and there is a ROM, it would almost be a futile effort, really, because you're not going to get the same accuracy. You're going to have to actually draw every frame of the DMD animation. Now, I personally am going to start taking the initiative to start doing more EM machines and more earlier, pre-SS tables. I feel like they kind of get neglected, and I want to change that. I'm actually going to be doing Spirit of 76 here pretty soon.
Can you talk about some of the front ends that are available?
Absolutely. What is it you're trying to What is it you're looking to accomplish? Are you looking for just your desktop front end, where you're sitting down in front of your PC on your widescreen or 4:3?
I mean, ultimately, to me, what I would have is a list of tables, and I just click on one.
So you're sitting at home at your office, and you want to throw on a pinball table, right? You're not talking about three-screen cabinet tables.
No, I'm talking about three-screen cabinet.
Okay, a HyperPin right now, I'd say, is probably the best front end for running a three-screen system. Excuse me. It's very difficult to configure, to be honest. It's not very user-friendly. It was the first version out there. Bad Boy Bill is the screen name of the gentleman that put that program together. And it's a really great interface. It's all done. It's with Flash, so there's animation, and it's all full color. But you really have to set it all up yourself. And it takes some time. But, you do two or three tables a day, and before you know it, you'll have a fully loaded front end that you can cycle through. So I would suggest going with that one. If you're doing just your desktop at home and you just have one monitor, VP Man is probably the best option for that. Are there any other questions at all? I really wanted to do an hour and a half presentation, but I suppose the fireside chat for questions, so I'm open for anything at this point. Okay.
Can you talk more about this controller?
The Pinball Wizard? Well, the Pinball Wizard is made by Nanotech Entertainment, and they are available online. What it basically implements is an accelerometer, and that would that detects nudging. It actually detects the entire slope of the table. If you have your PBW, Pinball Wizard controllers, on an angle just like a real table, you will actually have a slope. The ball will actually loop. So you have to keep it actually level, which is not a problem. It needs to be calibrated, not a problem. And the analog plunger does work, and it's very effective. When you pull back the plunger, you can actually see the plunger animation. There's obviously the flipper button and the MagnaSave button, along with coin in and launch buttons. It's really actually a pretty cool little.
What's on the top there?
This is exit game. So if you're in the middle of a game and you're ready to exit, just hit that, and it'll exit the game for you. And if you're running around a front end, like, say, for example, HyperPin, and you have your monitor turned sideways, you actually, when you're using HyperPin, you use your flipper buttons to cycle through tables. And then when you hit start game, it'll load the game up. Yes?
Is there any capability of allowing Visual Pinball to control lights on a custom cabinet, like flash a start button or flash an
exit? Well, there is a project in the works right now, and it is in the testing stages of using basically what it is VB strip, what we'll be able to call a COM object, which will be able to tell a board what to do, which will implement flashers, implement different lighting that is more of an ambience lighting than it is on the playfield lighting. So right now it supports 5 flashers on the back glass, like on the top of the cab, or you could put them anywhere for that matter. It supports 5 flashers, and it's also going to fire solenoids. So when you hit the flippers, you'll actually have that force feedback, but that's only right now in testing. So, and I'm waiting to hear some results on that, because that actually sounds pretty cool.
Can a Visual Pinball call COM objects now?
Yeah, absolutely. Can Visual Pinball call COM objects now? And the answer is yeah, absolutely.
Calibration.
Just so I'm clear, so
So visual pinball, your visual name, like, to save us all the adventure of coding. But there's no ability for you to decompile what's in the ROM.
Well, the ROM is a hex code. I mean, when it's read out, it's in hex. You can change the code in hex. But it doesn't mean you can necessarily, it won't necessarily be supported in PinMame if you change it, because you're changing the checksums, and it'll probably fail. But there is Oliver, who's done a couple 7-digit ROMs from 6-digit ROMs, and that's pretty much what he's doing, is he's changing the hex code on it.
I was just thinking about what we always dreamed about, which is getting rid of the DMD with a
full color LCD. Wouldn't that be nice? Actually, I was chatting with Steve Ritchie a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about, you know, we do virtual pinball, and we do recreations, but we do originals. And in our originals, we're emulating the dot matrix, the orange and black three shade in our originals. Why do we do that? And I really didn't know how to respond to that. I mean, he told me every developer on the planet has always wanted a full color LCD DMD, and here, you know, in our original tables, even when we have that ability, you know, we're still doing the orange and black. So, yeah, I guess it's just a matter of keeping it true, right? You know, being a purist. And that's kind of ironic, being virtual pinball. Let's see, what else is going on in the world? Has anybody noticed, or anybody been around long enough to notice the difference between VP8 and VP9? I mean, are you intricately knowledgeable at all in the differences, and have you noticed or played any and seen the differences? No. Okay. So pretty much this is an introductory to virtual pinball. I was hoping for some visual pinball fans tonight. Are there any other questions?
Yeah.
Yes?
Probably got one. It seems that in order to emulate or replicate all the different operating systems, there must be a bunch of people out there who know exactly how the code works in all these ROMs.
Like from the White Star and, yeah.
WPC.
Right, right. Well, I think MAME was really handy in that aspect.
Yeah, but that information doesn't seem to have kind of fed back into being able to then modify that code.
Oh, do you be able to customize it, you mean?
I mean, somebody obviously knows that. It's not a black hole. Somebody knows how they work.
Right.
In order to emulate.
Right. Well, I think that's kind of where the PROC program comes into play, right? Now, what are they using as a system?
Python.
They're using Python, but are they like basically doing the WPC style processing, or are they just doing their own?
They're just doing their own.
They're just flat out their
right.
own. Okay,
and
I got you. So really, yeah, right. But I mean, at the same time, ROMs aren't really meant to be tweaked or really.
It seems like there's some kind of intermediate stage where it's been read out of a ROM, put into something which is then executable.
Right.
PC.
Right.
That would be the ideal stage at which to modify it.
Right.
But that doesn't seem to happen.
Well, for PinMame here, you are using a black box system. You just know the processor the code was written for, and you're emulating that processor. So like when PinMame runs, it sees, okay, toss 16 to this location in RAM, and I have 8 megs of RAM, and I've got 6 ROMs, the checksums match, and just run it from that code. So we don't have the actual game rules laid out, like after, it is, but to figure out exactly what's going on, you would have to see it line by line as it runs and debug that, and then figure out how their code was written to begin with.
Right.
It just takes time.
I guess it's just not something. I guess it's not something anyone's aspired to do. That's all I can really think.
Try and hack the ROM originally, it's kind of impenetrable.
Right.
Whereas at that point, somebody's got into it and knows how it works.
Right.
Yeah.
And could modify it, given the effort and the time.
What's this?
Keep on asking, man. Anyone's got a question? Go ahead.
I guess the pros and cons of this device that you have in front of you here,
this
little nanotech thing, versus going out and buying the buttons and trying, and understanding the work you made, Bob. But what would you say is the pros of, like, you bought this and took it apart to make your system. We're trying to make a system, too. You can't decide if we should buy this, separate up. It already has the buttons, it already functions.
Nanotech has a do-it-yourself kit for cabinets. It doesn't come enclosed in a box. It doesn't have all, you know, all the labeling and everything. I think if you get it through our site, they're giving you a 15% or $20 off. It's a flat rate. I think they're $129 or $119. If you go to vpforums.org and you click, let's see, I'm trying to think. Just go to the Nanotech site and look it up and see. If not, I can send you a link that'll get you the VP Forums membership discount. Okay, and I think it's $119 or $129, but you can't quote me on that. I'm just trying to give you a...
And I'm not a programmer, so my question is, how do you make this button, you know, in the program start, this button, the plunger?
Okay, when it comes to this system, this is a do-it-yourself kit that's enclosed, that's encased to look like the PBW, you know, the Pinball Wizard controller. That's pretty much, they're the same. They automatically interface with VP9, so they're automatic. This will always be the right flipper button if that's the wires going to that button. This will always be the MagnaSave button, the right MagnaSave. This will always be the plunger button. This will always be the start button. And they're pre-configured. Now, what I did is I also use like a joy-to-key type program. Because sometimes when you're in your front end, if you're hitting I, you'll get the instruction cards in Hyperpin. If you hit F, you'll get flyers. But these don't have an appropriate button for those types of functions. But so I assign two keys. This will always be right flipper, but at the same time I could assign it the letter G. You know, and it'll have a dual purpose, so you can do that as well.
So I know some of the games like S to start the game instead of one or.
Well, that way you could do a dual assignment then. Start is, you know, start button. You could also assign for S. I use X-Patter myself. I don't know if you've ever heard of X-Patter.
No.
You press the button on your controller when you're setting it up, and it'll have all your available buttons. When you click that button, it shows a diagram of the entire keyboard. When you can click and you can assign multiple letters to a single key, and now every time you press that button with X-Patter loaded, it'll always, you know, it'll count as everything you've assigned to it. So in a cabinet, you could literally have combinations of buttons doing different functions if you get creative with it. You know what I'm saying? So you could have you hold down your start button and hit your right flipper. That could be a different function. So you can. I like to do that kind of stuff just because you're limited to the number of buttons on a standard pinball cabinet. You know, so I use a lot of things in multifunction. How you doing?
Okay, recreation question.
Okay.
So let's say we find some obscure ROM.
Pinball Circus.
There you go.
Okay.
There's no table.
Actually, there kind of is, but go ahead. This is theoretical.
We come up with some hypothetical ROM that the table hasn't been done yet by an ambitious guy.
Okay.
So the last thing that has yet to come together for me is when you're laying out the objects on your wireframe, the rendering of your table, you've got all the components there. Where's the linkage between that one rollover switch and the event in the ROM that processes that and tells the game to do X?
Okay. In the VB script itself, you actually use controller switches and you number them. Okay, so like switch dot controller, and in parentheses you have 12. That would be switch number 12. So if you have that as a hit, that'd be equal 1. So every time it hits it, you make controller switch 12 equal 1. That means that switch is closed, and it sends that information to the ROM code, and now it reacts as if switch 12 is closed. And then when it unhits that trigger, you would now set that controller switch to 0. And that trigger is now in the off state or the up position, and now the ROM would react to it in that state.
What reference are you using to know that the switch in the upper left quadrant
is 12 or 15? Or okay, for the most part, if they correlate exactly with what's in the manuals. If a manual is available for the table, if it is an obscure table, it is entirely trial by error. And you usually ask Brian to help you out with that because he's the absolute pro with that. This guy can tell you, if you don't know any light numbers or anything, he's going to find out for you, for the most part.
High level, it's really about naming the objects and having those names coincide with what the ROM.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As long as VP can tell VPM, you know, what switches are closed, what objects are being hit, which basically is a switch close as well. All those controller switches, if you assign 1 or 0 to on or off, that's how the ROM's going to react to that, and that's what's going to happen on the playfield. Now, also, at the same time, VPM can tell VP which lights are on or off. And you can do that a number of ways, but for the most part, that is just adding them all to the collection, assigning them the number that corresponds in the manual to that light number or, you know, lamp number, and VP will just listen to VPM, and we'll, all the lights will go on and off as VPM states. So it's a communication relationship.
That's fascinating. Does anybody design zipper filters for your objects?
Yes. Grey Wolf has. So he uses two flipper objects there, and it's possible to make one disappear and make a second one show up in its place so that it looks like they're moving, and they're different sizes, different colors, and yeah, they work well. So he's very, very pleased with his creation there. The main difference between VP and Future Pinball, you can do things like that on a whim. You can use EM reels to put in 3D objects in a 2D display very easily. You can use walls for it. You can use ball images. It's very versatile, and that's why it's been around for so long.
Yeah, that's one thing I would like to point out, too, and the pioneers of VP. When we first get VP, I mean, well, how long did it take to get a lot of the features that, you know, most pinballs have? So, you know, poor Randy, of course, hey, we need turntables to make Whirlwind, for example. Well, nothing really supported something like that, or magnets for Black Knight. So either the community would try to talk to Randy and say, hey, could you do this and add this into VP? And if he didn't, there would always be some kind of workaround someone would come up with. And part of it, part of, like, pioneering the development of these tables and being able to do like zipper flippers and stuff like that was creative and innovative ways of manipulating objects and dropping walls and raising walls and that's how a lot of the features and toys and in pinball tables are emulated. It's really honestly it's an illusion in some cases. Yeah, it really is. It's like an illusion, like reels, as he said. I've done animations where the object really doesn't even exist. The walls that actually make up that object are actually transparent, or they, you know, basically I'm just manipulating objects that are covered by a cartoon, and it's all just done, you know, by animation, so frame by frame animation. And that's just kind of how you have to do it sometimes, you know, to get it accomplished. For example, my gun in T2, it does rotate. It's a 42 frame animation. But the object really doesn't exist. So, you just see it.
Yes?
So seeing Circus Voltaire here inspires a question about these balls. You have three different kinds of balls.
Right.
And is there an easy way to change ball properties?
Well, we were just talking about innovative ways. This is the big ball, for example.
Yeah.
That's four balls. And they all carry a different image, making up one ball. And you actually have to plot the coordinates. So you actually have one ball telling the other three where to be. You're faking it when you do something like that.
How about if I say, I wonder how this is going to play with the Powerball? Can I take the Powerball properties?
Oh, you're like from Twilight Zone, you're just going to change the color of the ball?
No, I'm going to take ceramic. The Powerball and put it in some other pinball machine.
Oh, that's just a ball image? You know, so basically it would just be a ball image change, which you can do on the fly.
But the weight, you just put it in a different way.
Well, sadly, all balls would weigh the same based on the gravity settings in VP9. Something I wanted to talk to him about while we were here today is I would like to see ball size variations so we can go with just one ball, like, say,
yeah.
Cue Ball Wizard, for example.
Yeah.
Right? It does actually have an effect on how a table performs because you have actually four balls in the cue ball and one ball on the table, so literally you have five balls. And you're having, you know, they're all being kept track of, and that's one thing that does make VP a little choppy is having a lot of balls on the table. So if we could have one ball with properties maybe 150 width or 175 width to emulate that cue ball in one ball, it would be a lot smoother. But, you know, there isn't a ton of tables with big balls, so.
Why didn't I think of that? That's an amazing idea. I'll get just working
just,
on that right now.
It would take
now.
You like 20 minutes, wouldn't it, Brian?
No, like with Circus Voltaire here, you have your back box ping pong ball type, which is extremely light, extremely bouncy. You have your giant plastic ball, which is like one of those plastic balls from Walmart that my wife wants to buy, the really big ones. And then there's the pinball. And in order to coordinate those physics, you have your trigger here, which tells it, okay, if these four balls are moving so fast, slow them down so that they roll slower. And you also have this kicker here, which releases the ball to a flipper object, which launches it faster than life because it's a plastic ping pong ball. So you're fudging it a little bit, but as far as the collisions go, it is using real physics. So gravity is used. You also have power laws, recoils. Everything's here for you. So with enough time, you could probably come close to a real game, but we're lacking a few minor features like English. English isn't in VP, it's not in Future Pinball, it's not in anything yet because it's so complex and I don't know how to do it successfully. So it's not there yet.
If anybody actually is a C++ kind of guy and interested in development, it is open source. We have a development team. We do try to, I'm not a part of the development team. They try to take suggestions from the community on improvements and what should be done next, et cetera. So anyone with that kind of knowledge could be very helpful with the program. Any volunteers? Any questions? How are you guys doing your tables over here? We're going to put them on the big screen. You guys about ready? Yeah, if you go to my site, you just do the sound library in the under resources, and you can import all kinds of sounds. Do you want to keep it on mute? Oh, hey. Well, knowing you, I was a little concerned with the content. Uh-oh.
Please keep the graphics work safe.
You did mention earlier something about needing another Playboy table, right? You're not making it now, are you?
You can, sure. Please. I'm going to hand this off to Mattis here for a moment.
Yeah, because you asked about changing game ROMs, which I'm also a little bit into, it maybe makes it a little bit more clear how difficult it can be to change a ROM, and I wouldn't dare to put it in your real machine, because if you change a byte which locks a call, and it can turn into flames.
Yes. This is a fast laptop.
Okay. Not used to this. English keyboard. Don't you have a German one?
I can turn on the translation.
Translation doesn't matter.
Without him, you wouldn't be able to compile PinMame on anything else besides GCC and VSNet. And he also set up our SVN server, so he's quite qualified.
Sorry. On the PinMame download pages, you will find the MAME debugger version, which has an extra coding in it, which will give you the disassembled source, and you can trace through the coding. You can even change RAM values and registers to modify the game while it's running. I will just call it and have just to check it's / debug. Normally I use script so I don't have to remember it. Okay, that's a normal pin name, starting end, I type OK. And the ROM is not really starting. You see that the output window of pin name when you start it by itself, you have the DMD over here. And you have abstraction of the lights on the playfield, and an abstraction of the switches and lights that's on, and lots of data, and you have key codes to trigger ramps and loops, slings, and so on. And you get a complete debugger where you see where the code is at. So I can F8 this. I can put up a help. One, you get all the commands. I will just check to make sure I don't do something stupid. F8. So you can just trace the code, and you see that the registers are changing, and you can see that the RAM here is currently just filled with FFF, because it's just a checking code of the RAM and the checksum of the ROM, which is going here. So I just let it run. You will recognize it will initialize the machine, and I just can... where's the tilt? It's over there. I can... Okay, I want... Now I know that factory settings are restored. I want to get in... Where's it now? So I can see this is currently happening here, and I can trace it, and I can find the bytes which I want to change. So you have to have a lot of good knowledge of assembler, of the specific CPU running that system or for that ROM, and you have to be lucky that you can change it by just switching a byte. Most of the stuff is handled by tables in the WPC system, so if you can only modify a table, then it's running differently, maybe the way you want to. But if the code is not there, you have a problem. For instance, a friend of mine, Martin Reynolds from California, he did a modification for Judge Dredd. He was lucky that the code was inside the ROM, so he had just to enable it. He was hacking the ROM exactly in PinMem like I do here now, and found where it was blanked out and put in some own coding with the help from the developer, I think, so that he could make a hardware modification with an updated ROM that can use that hardware modification. But you're very limited in the possibilities to modify ROMs. Texts are not a problem. You can change any text, recreate the checksum, burn it, works. But changing logic is very, very difficult. Just to have one impression how hard it can get. For instance, in Indiana Jones, the calculation of the escape the minecart is wrong. This is just a logical error. You can fix this with a byte hack. This is possible, because it's just a mistake inside the coding. I don't have to add extra logic, but I wouldn't give it to the public, because if you burn it on a ROM, put it in yours, and it starts burning, you will sue me. So that's something that's possible, but I don't dare it. Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to show and...
Any further questions on that subject matter? I might be able to change lettering, but I don't know how I would be able to do it very accurately.
Now, the thing is, sure, you're able to fix the minecart mode with a few bytes changed, but which bytes do you change? That's always a problem.
And to what?
And what do you change them to, you know? So with Mattis here, our debugging champion, he's really helped us here with our cause. Yeah. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, that was actually really cool.
So you're going to play a game now? It's
you were also asking coins. How you figure out what light numbers and what switch numbers, and that is pretty helpful as well. If you mess around a little bit with the settings, the DMD settings, and it says DMD only equals true, if you change that to false, you'll also get some other debug information, like which triggers are being hit.
Everything you see here.
Yep. All right, and then you can actually go with the debugger and VP it's built in, and you go to different objects and trigger a trigger, and it will show you, you know, like which trigger it is and the result. So you can kind of match up the reaction for the trigger into what's being done in PinMame, if you understand what I'm saying. So,
and if for some reason you don't have a manual, you can set it up to tell you how many points for hitting a bumper you get or which lights turn on, so that you can basically do the whole game without any kind of paperwork, as long as you have the rule sheet for it.
Right, but the manuals are much easier. I mean, it's right there for you.
I've done that before.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Are there any other questions about Visual Pin MAME or VP, Visual Pinball? The site, recreations, originals? Anyone want to know what Ron's up to? All right. Well, I guess we can. What time is it?
9:40.
We might as well go ahead and wrap it up if you have no further questions. Now, if you do want more information on how to build your own original, I'm available all weekend. You can bring a laptop for a little one-on-one. I can show you a little more in depth how to build an original and how to help script it, and we can get you started. Plus, we do have tutorials on the site, vpforums.org. And that's 24/7 support, whether it's setting up VP, whether it's setting up Visual Pin MAME, building your own tables, doing recreations. Someone is always there to answer your questions.
One more thing before we wrap this up. In order for us to make these games, I buy ROMs, I buy boards, I buy manuals, I buy it all if I can. And I recently bought this, and it was shipped to me, and it got damaged in transit. But if anyone here wants this, just let me know, and it's yours, free. It has some damage here and damage up here on the top. Besides that, it's fine as far as I can tell. Okay? Thank you.
Thanks for attending, guys. Appreciate it.